we have a culture. And coming off of the Masters, I thought about the Masters as a culture and what a powerful culture the Masters is, the golf tournament called the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. A culture, could you imagine any other culture? I don't know any other culture that they can get the highest net wealth individuals to give up their phone for an entire day. The culture is so powerful. It takes the most wealthy people and they feel good about giving up their phone for the whole day and they feel better when they do it. We don't scale by adding more products, people, or pages in the playbook. We scale by amplifying a culture, a frequency, a neighborhood that thinks, decides, and improves when you're not in the room. A healthy culture is an invisible operating system that powers every process, protects every relationship, and perpetuates your purpose long after your name is off the org chart. This guide, this exercise, this training will show you how to architect that culture first, to create the foundation, the frequency, the neighborhood, so every other system, the people, the processes, and the profit, not only survives without you, but thrives, grows, accelerates, and aggregates without you. And the first lesson that needs to be put into place as culture is the capacity, is the shift in the mindset that must take place. A founder-centric mindset breeds dependence. When a narcissist takes over, the centralization of emotion and energy and value and time, all is circulating around one mindset that breeds a dependency upon that one person. A culture-centric mindset breeds resilience. It is impossible to break. It is a palm tree in a storm, bending and bending, but never breaking. I've worked with so many startups and most of them, if not every single one of them, has a period of time where there's a funding crunch. In fact, I can't think of too many startups that haven't experienced a funding crunch. And the one of those startups, they shared we over me culture. And the we over me culture, it rallied and it pivots. And the other ones that are built on the founders' centralized power, charisma, splinters when the leader burns out. And building a culture in this resilience, shifting the mindset away from a founder-centric mindset into a culture-centric mindset is what creates the culture's capacity. That it can't be one individual in a culture. It has to be all individuals in a culture. The we over me culture rallies and pivots while the individualized culture burns out. Culture isn't a line item. It's a lens. It's a lens through which every decision is made. The lens in our culture, in our neighborhood, in our frequency is a lens of productivity. Productivity, how efficient, effective, and statistically successful are you providing value? It's a lens of accessibility, being accessible to others and accessing what you want in an infinite system of information and power and energy. And then finally, the most important lens of our culture, our neighborhood, in our network of people who want to help each other and know people that can help each other, the lens of gratitude, the ability, no matter what the circumstances are, no what the evidence is, contrary or none to exist, it is gratitude in that lens of a culture-centric mindset that finds the light, the love, and the lessons that provides the purpose greater than the pain that creates the resilience, because we all know it won't be the mistakes in these lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude that will stop us. It'll be the lack of commitment, and there is no lack of commitment in a culture-centric system. We need to replace mission statement plaques with living culture codes and values, behaviors, and an execution model to guide us in a divine direction, to allow us to see the detours as divine and, of course, manage our expectations within the context of divine time. You need to talk about our origin of where we are today. Every time reminding the values, the practices, and the execution model so every teammate can connect to their why and apply it to the company's why as well. Utilizing the annoyance principle. One of the greatest qualities I have as a parent and as a leader is I'm extremely annoying to people. Why? Because I'm honest and repetitive. My kids hate repetitive. They hate honesty. But that's what creates the culture. Utilizing an auditing of truth and consistency to create cultural alignment with the values, the behaviors, and the practices, with the lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. And if it contradicts your values, your behaviors, your practices, or your execution model, then change the policy. Change the culture. Utilizing a founder-centric mindset is not going to get you there. It may get you up. It may get you back up. It may get you started. It may get you back started, but it ain't going to get you there. A culture-centric mindset will breed the resilience and the commitment necessary and the values, practices, and execution model to facilitate getting you to where you want to be in the divine time in which you will be there, allowing that divine direction and the divine detours to protect, promote, love, and protect us. The second lesson in building a culture beyond the culture-centric mindset shift is the three pillars of culture. And utilizing the three pillars of culture first to utilize a self-sustaining business. The first is purpose over personality. Personality fades. Purpose compounds. I'm going to repeat that. Personality fades. Purpose compounds. I was working with Patagonia, and their culture is one of an environmental ethos driven with loyalty far beyond the product, services, and solutions that they have, the specs, or even the founder's lore. The purpose at Patagonia is clear. The culture itself is the policies that create the why and apply it to the relationships that exist within the context of internal and external business. Understanding if we can boil our purpose into one sentence everybody can recite, like making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, or having a lot of fun, empowering others to empower others to be happy. If you live the mission, the commissions will follow. You should take time every single meeting and have meetings to build the culture with a purpose spotlight, a reminder, a remembrance, a recollection of the values, gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication, a reiteration of the behaviors and practices of knowing your what the company wants personally, experientially, giving and receiving, who the company can help and who can help the company, the how, utilizing the lenses of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude so that the company itself, the culture itself, will prioritize at all time what is important to them and do it now. 100% of the things you do now get done, and 100% of the things you do next get done. Get rid of the two interferences of most cultures, being overwhelmed and procrastination. Utilize the execution model to effectuate capturing options, opportunities, and touches of favor, distributing them internally and externally, prioritizing the ones that are for you and deciding at that time, according to the circumstances of the day, the time, value, and emotion, what is most important to you to prioritize and what you should redistribute internally or externally. Utilizing your network, which is why we create this neighborhood, this culture, this network of people that want to help each other, know people that help each other, that buy from each other and sell for each other for life, creating resilience, sustainability within a purpose-driven culture, not personality-driven culture. Purpose is based off of your values, your practices, and your execution that are done in a consistent, persistent manner every single day, 7 days a week for a minimum amount of time the incremental proof of certainty of the future. Your journey is only determined by when your heart starts and when it stops. It's divided by one future certainty, the only future certainty of 24 hours, incremental time that you should use in three different ways: non-negotiable behavior, driving the values, and execution. Hybrid negotiable behaviors, behaviors that take into account the circumstances only to define when I do it. And then, of course, circumstantial behavior that's based off of prioritization of the circumstances of the day in the divine direction, indicated by the detours, which are also divine, and allowing divine time to reveal how you're protected, promoted, loved, and perfected, even though at the time there may be no evidence or the evidence is contrary to any protection, promotion, love, or perfection. The second pillar beyond the purpose over personality is empowering people over controlling them. So many people try to create dogmatic principles in which control us, whether it be philosophies, spiritualities, religions, theories, constructs of operating systems. It's autonomy that fuels engagement, a cultural currency that money can never replace. A currency is energy in motion. If you want the positive energy in motion, we need autonomy in empowerment, not in control. Working with the Ritz-Carlton and their employees, they can spend up to $2,000 to solve a guest problem without a manager's approval. Guess what soars? That's right. Guest satisfaction soars. People buying from them and selling for them soars. Would you rather spend $2,000 on a video for a follower, or would you rather invest $2,000 in a current guest who has a problem and solve it, creating great joy for both parties and those who witness it, creating the unbelievable impact of effect of this exponentiality of this neighborhood of people buying from you and selling for you for life? That's why every Ritz-Carlton employee can spend up to $2,000 to solve a guest problem without a manager's approval. Do you institute these type of empowering behaviors, or are you trying to control the mechanism and interfere with the truth? It is trust that creates ownership, and it's ownership that scales the future. Now, within the context of trusting, we have to remember that we need a vetting process in perpetuity with trust. So many people think trust means don't ask. Don't ask questions. Don't do due diligence. Don't seek the truth. It's the exact opposite. The people that we trust the most, for alignment, we need to vet it. We need to ask uncomfortable questions, clarifying questions in order to facilitate the truth. I often have within the culture of my company, my leaders are questioned. If they say something that was miscommunicated, I make it uncomfortable and say, hey, that's not what I said. That's not the truth. Not to diminish the capacity of the person, but to empower them with the truth and to make them feel comfortable about articulating a truth, or careful about articulating a truth, so that we too can make the investment to solve our community's problems without approval. The issue of quote unquote culture cards, listing decisions each role can make by themselves, understanding the autonomy that fuels engagement, a cultural currency that is far greater in value than any other currency. We should not only utilize culture cards that list out the decisions and roles that people play individually, but we launched this peer-to-peer recognition, teammates awarding value-based culture coins in respect to redeem them for opportunities, options, and touches of favor. Peer-to-peer recognition is as valuable as any type of acknowledgement. These are the culture coins that allow us to have extreme value in the currency to provide the autonomy that fuels our engagement. And those who know, it doesn't matter your skills and knowledge if you're not engaged. Tom Brady sitting on the sideline was worthless. Tom Brady quitting was worthless. Quietly quitting was worthless. Tom Brady giving half his effort is worthless. Your team will lose every time. But an engaged Tom Brady, an empowered Tom Brady, fuels more Super Bowls than any other team has ever experienced. We should be replacing annual periodic reviews with a two-way culture check-in, focused in on the values, the practices, and the execution model in order to facilitate the empowering people over controlling our teams. The third pillar, beyond purpose over personality and empowering people over controlling teams, is the systemization that can protect the culture, not create it. Systems can scale behavior, and without them, a culture will drift. Systems should protect the culture, not create it. When I was working with Netflix, we quote unquote worked on freedom and responsibility. And looking at Netflix freedom and responsibility deck, it codified how decisions got made and keeping startups agile at a global scale. The key insight that I got by working with them in the freedom and responsibility decision-making process of how agile such a huge company could be was that they documented, they captured their systems. They look for clues and patterns and made better choices in order to scale behavior. Positive behavior, identified a behavior as aligned with where they wanted to be or better. Negative behavior, defined if that was interfering with their potential in a shareable system. This was the culture's muscle memory, documenting, capturing, modifying, amplifying, and perpetuating a system that protects their culture, based off of the values, practices, and execution model that was clearly defined and aligned. We need to embed values, practices, and execution in every SOP header. This procedure will support our value of radical transparency, automating low-value tasks so humans spend more time living cultural values, creativity, service, learning, etc. When we automate our lower value tasks, this is a great example of AI making humans more humans. Take from 0 to 1 away, and 1 to 100 is easier, faster than it's ever been because it takes more time from 0 to 1 than 1 to 100. And automating these low value tasks that are necessary to be utilized and scaled over time take away from being human and being humble, humility, the tranquility of being human. You can create scores, you can create dashboards, you can track participation, engagement in rituals, recognitions, and engagement, productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. You can bonus and incentivize people by these as well. These three pillars of culture will create a self-sustaining business, protecting your culture. The next lesson is firing yourself and others without firing the culture. So many businesses I've had so successful have had to go through me firing myself and others. Turnover is inevitable. I was talking to the founder of a huge real estate company, one of the biggest in the world. Excuse me, I got you my breakfast. I said, what's the biggest mistake you've made in 40 years? You have a multi-billion dollar real estate business. What's the biggest mistake? He said, I had no turnover in my executive career, 26 people. No turnover. I thought about that. Wow, that's impressive. He said, biggest mistake. Because culture continuity is optional. Choose continuity. Continuity requires time, value, and emotion changing. When I was working with Zappos, they offered $4,000 to new hires to quit after onboarding. Those who stay strengthen the culture. I thought that was great. Think about it. After you hired someone, you offer $4,000 to them to quit after onboarding them. What a great thing to do. Never fire the culture. Enforce the culture. Have them make an investment in the culture. Have them identify the value of the culture and the opportunity. What a great thing to do. The goal isn't zero attrition, like my friend, the leader of the world's biggest real estate agency. It's zero culture erosion. I'm going to repeat that again. Your goal isn't zero attrition. It's zero cultural erosion. Build deep role coverage and deep culture champions per team. Conduct cultural extra interviews to capture lessons and stories, to shore up the gaps, to make sure that your culture is strengthening itself. Maintain a cultural bench of external talent already aligned with your values. Have internship programs, have meetups, holding courts, have all types of curated rooms, from VIP dinners to groups to all types of curated, guaranteed value opportunities for people, so that you have a cultural bench. Utilize these cultural champions, the cultural exit interviews, and the cultural bench in order to facilitate the ability that we want continuity. Zero attrition is in our goal. Zero erosion is. The next lesson is the tools and the rituals for daily cultural reinforcement. Once again, in the consistent pursuit of our potential, we need to have daily cultural reinforcement. And the first step to utilize is called a cultural matrix, which I formulated to eliminate rituals that contradict with our values. By studying the clues, the patterns, and the choices made, we can automate compliance tasks so we as humans can clear the interference in our connection to one another. We delegate ownership of culture rituals to cross-functional teams and squads and in positions that we're playing, to make sure that everybody's pulling a seat up next to them and that they too have a seat pulled up for them. Know what teams they're playing on and what position on those teams they're playing, and know their next position in their next team. Elevate by sharing the cultural wins company-wide every week. Share the wins, the lessons, and the stories, and we will grow, accelerate, and aggregate and compound our divine outcomes. Utilizing daily cultural practices beyond the cultural value matrix of gratitude, empathy, accountability, and effective communication, these daily practices, these behaviors, these cultural forming backbone of knowing who, knowing how, knowing now, and applying your why. When you know your what, you state today's top priorities. Know what's important to you personally, experientially, giving and receiving. When you know your who, give one a shout out to a teammate living a core value of who you can help and who can help you. Know your how. Make sure you're capturing processes of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude for a acceleration, aggregation, and compounding impact. Knowing your now, tackle the toughest cultural aligned tasks first. Know what's important and urgent. Urgency is a subset. It's a supplementary evaluation tool in order to facilitate what's important. And most importantly, apply your why. Identify how you react to the fear. Shorten the distance of resistance through utilizing the culture for wisdom, but also faith when there's no evidence or the evidence isn't clear or even contrary to where we want to be. Make sure we're noting how we advance our mission, and the commissions will follow. Use the tool of cancel, clear, connect. Cancel the inputs of what we do, say, think, feel, and believe. Cancel them. The culture works only if we enforce it. Clear the emotions by breathing and reflecting. Clear the subconscious to make the positivity of the repetitive nature of the subconscious instead of the negative repetition that occurs in the subconscious mind day in, day out, telling me I can't, I won't, looking at what I don't have, what's missing, what other people want for me, and then clear that connection back to trust in people and purpose. The people and the purpose will be greater than the pain. You'll never lack commitment to get you to where you want to be or even better. The fifth lesson, from founder to free. Culture is a legacy. It's its own legacy. It's its own energy. Freedom. A lot of people tell me, what is money? Money is freedom. No, it's not. Trust me. To be free is to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want. Culture has to empower us to have the opportunity to do that more of the day. Impact outlives income. I'll repeat that. I finished my breakfast. Impact outlives income. A well-defined culture compounds goodwill, innovation, and growth long after the founder steps away. When values, not personalities, drive behaviors, the company keeps winning even in the founder's absence. It is free, and so is the founder. A mission-driven brand still donates 10% of the profits to environmental causes a decade after the founder sold the company, because the practice was embedded in the culture, not in one leader's personal passion. Products will pivot and markets will shift. Time, emotion, and value will change, but intentional codification of culture endures and scales and measures success by how well the organization performs without you. You don't have a culture if it needs you. You should have a 100-year cultural constitution. Our constitution is filled with the core values, signature rituals, non-negotiable behaviors that define how we win together. Understanding the values and practices and execution model in order to facilitate how we win together. It's a rotating culture that has a council to it. It empowers a cross-functional team that audits, celebrates, evolves the cultural practices each and every quarter, year, and decade. Our KPIs are personal. Looking at the days the company outperforms while you're unavailable comparatively to when you are available, track and review this metric to ensure the culture is about the company, not you, and it's fueling its performance. A cultural constitution, a cultural council, and a personal KPI about the company's performance without you are great ways to facilitate what we're trying to do. We don't scale by adding more products, people, or pages in the playbook. We scale by amplifying the cultural that thinks, decides, and improves when you're not in the room. Shift the mindset. It's a culture is the capacity. Have a culture-centric mindset to breed resilience. Utilize the three pillars of culture first. Have a self-sustaining business. It'll be purpose over personality, empowering people over controlling teams, and utilizing systemization that will protect the culture. Fire yourself and others without firing the culture. Turnover is inevitable. Choose continuity. Our goal isn't zero attrition, it's zero cultural erosion. Create the tools and the rituals for daily cultural reinforcement. Have a value-based cultural matrix. Have the behaviors of five daily cultural practices, and utilize the cultural cancel, clear, and connect in order to facilitate that the culture works only if we practice it. Free yourself and others as a founder. Culture will be your legacy. Use a cultural constitution, a cultural council, and KPIs without you in order to effectuate what goes on for perpetuity. Systems can't replace tasks. Culture replaces you. When purpose is clear, values are lived, and people are empowered, the company not only runs without you, it improves without you. Implement frameworks. You'll trade control for true freedom. Turning your enterprise into a self-propelling legacy of service, growth, and impact that lives well beyond any single name on the door. If you do this, if you build a culture in this way, you will make a lot of money. You will help a lot of people, and you will have a lot of fun. This is How to Build a Culture training. If you'd like the guide, the exercises, or my book, I'm happy to send them to you. Email me, david@dmeltzer.com. david@dmeltzer.com. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you. If you want to be invited to the 200 cities we're in this year, all the different things, the biggest sporting events and award shows and all types, NASDAQ, all types of cool shit, masterminds and meetups and holding courts and VIP dinners. If you want to learn, if you want to be part of our tours that we're on, not only email me, david@dmeltzer.com, but text me 949-298-2905. You will be invited to everything. Invited, not obligated. If you're offended or obligated when you get an invitation, do not join my text community. These are only for people that want to be invited. And when they're available, not feel obligated to come and join with all the free shit we got going on and the curated shit we got going on. We'd love to have you. Please email me or text me. Most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. We'll see you later.